Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord on this first day of January 2026 of our year of our Lord. And welcome to the first podcast of this year of Everyday Word. Amen, amen. Everyday Word is the podcast of DJ DEA where we read, pray, contemplate, and otherwise apply the Word of God to our life from Genesis to the book of Revelation in about a 45-minute format. Amen, amen. The Bible declares in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, Valerie, my beautiful wife. Thank you so very much for being a part of the reading on this first podcast from Everyday Word and from DJ DEA of 2026. As we talked about on last week, our focus this year is going to be a tad bit different. Normally, we are walking through the Word of God consistently from Genesis to the book of Revelation, but this year we're going to try something different. We're going to have an apologetic focus on the Word of God this year, dive deeper into the Word of God. We want to equip believers to know what they believe, know what you believe, understand why you believe it. And we're going to defend the faith biblically, rationally, and rationally is what I want to say, and apply truth in real world cultural pressure. And so our format is going to be a tad bit different this year. We're going to do a primary chapter, and then we're going to support those verses through commentary. And then we're going to have historical context and philosophical challenges are going to be addressed, cultural objections answered, doctrinal clarity. Amen, amen. And really, this should apply to our personal faith, our public witness, and cultural engagement. Praise be to God. And so that's what we're going to go this year. We're going to meet that out this year and walk through the Bible even slower than we did on last year. Amen, amen. Or last 2 years. And we're going to run this program until December the 31st of 2026. Amen, amen. So I hope you can join us this morning and for the rest of the year as we go through this. Remember to like us on Facebook, to like us on YouTube. We're going to be eventually moving over to YouTube during the year of 2026. And to like and support us on YouTube as we go through this endeavor this year, and to download this podcast at any of the podcasts, most of the podcast platforms that you see today, Amazon and Spotify and various different podcast platforms that you can download this in today. I want you to join us this year as we journey through the Word of God with a focus on apologetics. Amen. God bless you all. So let's get started this month. Oh, amen, amen. Good morning, Sister Watson. Thank you so very much for being a part of the reading this morning. Amen, amen. And the new year, again, the first day of the brand new year. What better place to be than in the Word of God? What better place to be in the Word of God to let it shore you up and get you prepared for 2026 and all that may come this way? And you know we're going to have some stuff coming this way this year. My goodness, my goodness. The news is already cracking and things are already going on. And so let us begin in the Word of God with our podcast number one. This is really season six and podcast number one this morning. Good morning. Good morning, Sister Watson. Thank you so very much for being a part of the reading this morning. And we're going to go ahead and get started again with an apologetic focus on the Word of God as we learn it even deeper this year. All right, well, let's go ahead and open up in the word of prayer this morning. Just before we get started, we're going to be reading on Genesis 1 today. We're going to start at the first chapter of Genesis, the first book of God spoken to existence. Let's open up in the word of prayer. Our Lord, our Father in Christ Jesus, we thank you for the protection of your angels, for your protection of body angels through the night, Lord God, for the rest that you have provided for us, for the gift of another day to live for you. Father God, we thank you for a brand new year. We thank you for a brand new day, Lord God, a day we have not seen before. We pray in the blessed name of Jesus, Father God, that you be with us and walk with us through this period, Lord God. We know that everything won't go right, Lord God, this year, but but you are with us, Father God. And so we pray, Father God, that you keep us this year humbly dependent upon you for every good and perfect gift, for you are our Father. Father God, we're praying, Lord God, even already on this first day of the year, if it is necessary, send us through trials and disappointments so that we may be humbled and kept free from it, vanity, kept free from pride, Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus. When you afflict us, Lord God, don't let us turn to the right or to the left or turn away in despair, Lord God, but remain faithful to you in the sure hope that you chastise every person you receive. Father God, we're praying that you keep our eyes on us during this year, Father God. Our comings and goings, our standing up and sitting down, and just keep our eyes on us as we travel through this time, Lord God, as pilgrims traveling through, because we're going to always keep our eyes on you, Father God. You have said, Lord God, that the steps of a man are ordered from God, Lord God. So we're praying that you order our steps by your word, dear Lord. Lead us, guide us. Every way, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, and keeping our souls sincere. Let sin have no dominion over us, Lord God, but keep our consciences clear. Would you be able to read in this morning, Lord God, and help to illuminate our minds that we may understand the word of God? Let this day be a day of witnesses for you, my Father, and for your Son, our Savior, into whose name we come into this morning. Forgive us for our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Speak to our hearts today, Lord God. Be in our presence today, Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus, as we start this new year off in your word. Father, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. That's where we're going to kick off today. Genesis chapter 1. And it's going to be reading this one chapter today. So we're going to be studying Genesis chapter 1 after we read this today. Again, the format is going to be just a tad bit different. You know, usually we read every word out of the word of God from Genesis to the book of Revelation. This year, we're going to be choosing a new way to study the Bible and to make sure to scripture and learn a tad bit more of what God will have us to learn. Amen. So praise the Lord, everyone, and thank you so very much for being a part. I just saw Sister Walters check in, and thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, I tell you, what some faithful listeners, absolutely faithful listeners. Praise the Lord, who want the word of God in their lives. Not ashamed to be in the word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, chapter 1, it looks like my internet wants to act up on this first day. We're going to keep going. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, creation. This is the word of God. And here we're speaking of the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. Then God said, that theme again, let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above, and the expanse above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and evening came, and then morning, the second day. And verse 9. Then God said, let the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. and it was stopped. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit, seed, and it's according, and in it according to their kind. And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. My internet is acting up this morning. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sea to separate the day from the night. They would serve as signs for season and for days and years. There would be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, greater light, to rule over the day and the lesser light, to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. Good. Evening came in the morning, the fourth morning. And God said, let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures, and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water, according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature, according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came in the morning, the fifth day. Then God said, verse 24, let the earth produce living creatures, kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kind, and it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you. For all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything, and the breath, green plant food, and was so. God saw all that he had made, verse 31 tells us, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. Amen, amen. We do indeed thank God for the reading of his word this morning. It's a lot packed into this, that one verse right there. I'm sorry, it's a lot packed into that one chapter of Genesis right there. And we want to go ahead and walk ourselves through this morning as we study the word of God. Good morning, Brother Mitchell. Thank you so very much, my brother. Amen. Happy New Year to you all this morning. And praise the Lord. And thanks for being a part of reading today. And God spoke. And God spoke. I'll tell you, when God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things happen. Praise be God. Well, let's just talk about this. Let's walk through this morning as we have some time to do so. We see in verses 1 and 2, creation's opening scene. God speaks the universe into being. And he's crafting the heavens and the earth from absolutely nothing. Amen. At first, the planet is formless and void and is wrapped in darkness, while the Spirit of the God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Verses 3 and 5. Walk along here. Verses 3 and 5 is day 1. God commands. Here he goes again. He speaks. Let there be light, separating light from the darkness and naming them day and night. Amen. That's why we have the day and we have the night. Verses 6-8 is day 2. The sky and the sea. I'm putting both of them together. The sky and the sea. And a vault, an expanse, is formed to divide the waters, creating the sky and setting boundaries for the oceans below. Evening, morning, and this is day 2. And verses 9-13 is day 3. Now here comes the land and the plants. Dry ground emerges, and that dry ground is called earth, and gathered waters named seas. That's where we got two trees producing according to its kind. Very important there. Evening and morning, day 3. And then verses 14-19 is day 4. Day 4 is we got the sun, the moon, and the stars. And lights are set in the sky for signs and seasons, for days and years. We have the greater light rules the day, which is the sun. The lesser light, which is the night, along with the stars. Evening and morning, this is day 4. Day 5 comes along, and now we have the fish and the birds. Water and skies burst with light. Amen. Fish of every size burst before them. God blesses them to be fruitful and multiply. Evening and morning, day 5. Okay? And then we see here in summary of this chapter this morning, verses 24 and 25, first part of day 6, we got the land animals, now, livestock, cows, and these kinds of things, creeping things, and wild beasts appear, each according to its kind, bears and lions, and tigers and bears, and whatever, and God sees, and he said, this is all good, you know? And then we have the most important, the second part of day 6, humankind, that's you and I, we are created. And notice that he says, let us make man in our own image. Us and our. That means that the Trinity was there from the beginning. Who is us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is the verse right here that will have any Jehovah's Witness leave your doorstep. Okay, because many of them don't believe that Jesus is God. And he wasn't here from the beginning. He was absolutely here because he said, let us, who are us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. And so there he is. Male and female are created. Not male and male, not female and female, but male and female are created. And they are blessed to rule over the earth and creatures. And God grants them plants, food, and surveys all he has made. And he looks back and he says, very good. Evening and morning, the sixth day. And he tells him to go out and multiply. Now, you can't go out and multiply if it's two males. You can't go out and multiply if it's two females. Male and female are created on that day. And so Genesis chapter 1 is the captivating account of the world's creation. It unfolds, displaying God's omniscient, amen, hand, and shaping the universe from formless into a realm teeming with light and abundance. And from this, from the establishment of light and darkness to the formation of diverse life forms, this chapter takes the reader on a remarkable journey through 6 days of creation. Well, let's talk about this in a tad bit more detail this morning, because this is absolutely deep in what God is doing. God really is the ultimate creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 sets the stage, but it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the foundational truth reminds us that everything that we see, every experience, is the handiwork of an intelligent and purposeful creator. Okay? And recognizing God is the ultimate source of all things can inspire us to appreciate the beauty around us and trust in his divine plan for our lives. And then we see power. We see power in God. Throughout Genesis 1, we see the phrase, and God said, and God said, and it's repeated as God speaks creation into existence. And really, this demonstrates the incredible power of God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so just as God's word brought forth life and order, his word today can transform and guide our lives. Amen. Next, we see order and purpose in creation. God's creation was not random, wasn't a big bang. It didn't just happen. It is intentional and orderly. And from separating light from the darkness to creating distinct environments for living creatures, amen. Genesis chapter 1 shows us that God is a God of order, not a God of disorder. And this should encourage us to see purpose and structure in our lives, trusting that God has a plan for each one of us. We see here the goodness of creation. After each act of creation, God saw that it was good. Verse 31 tells us, God saw that it was good. And he concludes with, God saw all he had made, and it was good. It's all good, is what God is saying, amen. And really, this infers the inherent goodness of God's creation and remind us to cherish and steward the world around us, recognizing it as a reflection of its absolute goodness. Verse 27 reveals, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Excuse me, male and female, he created them. Being made in God's image as humanity with a unique role and responsibility. We are made in the image of God, you and I. Remember that. We are called to reflect God's character and his steward, his creation, with care and absolute respect. Amen. On the seventh day, God rested from his work. And really, this set a precedent for the Sabbath. This teaches us the importance of rest and reflection. We ought to have a day of rest and reflection in our lives. And about in our busy lives, we need to take time to rest and focus on God, and it can rejuvenate our spirits and strengthen our relationships with God. One of the things I want to talk about this morning is the importance of light. God's first act of creation was bringing forth light, separated it from darkness. Light is essential for life and growth physically and spiritually. Jesus later declares in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am what? The light of the world. So embracing his light can guide you and I through life's challenges and illuminate our path. Amen. Genesis 1 shows and showcases the beauty of God's diversity. Amen, amen. From a vast array of plants and animals to the uniqueness of human beings. All right? And the diversity reflects God's creativity and reminds us to celebrate and respect the differences among us. Recognize that each part of creation has a role in his grand design. And then there's a call to stewardship. God entrusted humanity with responsibility to do what? To fill the earth and subdue it. Verse 28 tells us. And this call to stewardship emphasizes our duty to care for the environment and all the living things. By honoring this responsibility, we honor God and his creation. So you ought to take care of his planet. You ought to not be littering as you go. I see people throwing things out of their car windows like it's a trash can. It is a horrible sight, quite frankly. And lastly, in Genesis 1, as we talk about this morning, there's a foundation of faith that was. God lays the groundwork for our faith, affirming that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. Now, this foundational belief shapes our understanding of the world and our place in it. By embracing this truth, you and I can live with confidence and hope, knowing that our lives are part of God's eternal story. My God, my God. Let's look at this in an apologetic thesis this morning. See, when we start out this morning, Genesis 1 proclaims the reality is intentional, ordered, and meaningful because it originates from the sovereign word of God. Truth is not discovered by humanity nor constructed by culture. Let me say that again. Truth is not discovered by humanity nor constructed by culture. It is revealed by the creator. You know, when we look at Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9, what God creates by his word, creation obeys his command. John chapter 1, verses 1 is eternal and creative. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, creation is understood by faith, not materialism alone. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, all things are created by and for Christ. Romans chapter 1 and 20, creation renders humanity without excuse. And so these texts reinforce Genesis 1 as a theological foundation, not a poetic afterthought. When we talk about the historical context of this, Genesis was written into a world dominated by ancient Near Eastern creation myths, such as Babylonian, Elish, where the and violence, the Big Bang Theory, which is ridiculous, quite frankly. God is finite, not infinite, but finite, immoral and competing, they believe. And humanity exists to serve to God's needs. But Genesis chapter 1 directly confronts these ideas. There is one eternal God, not many. Amen. Creation is by command, not by conflict. Praise be to God. And the humanity made in God's is made in God's image, not enslaved letter. So historically, Genesis 1 is against pagan cosmology. Amen. Declaring that Yahweh alone is creator and sovereign. Yahweh alone is creator and sovereign. Amen. And so the philosophical challenge addressed today is the question that we ask philosophically about this. Is reality the result of chance or intention? Well, Genesis 1 answers. Number one, it's against materialism. Matter is not eternal. God is. Things that you see are not eternal. Your home, your matter is not eternal, but God is eternal. And then it protects against nihilism. Amen. Meaning many exist because purpose precedes existence. It's against relativism. Implies design. Design implies authority. All right. This just didn't happen out of the blue, out of the dark. Boom. And here it was here. And so if reality is accidental, morality is arbitrary. But if reality is created, morality is grounded. Amen. The cultural objection answered in this is because we have objections to this today. Science disproves Genesis. Some scientists try to disprove Genesis, but our apologetic response in this, Genesis 1 is not a scientific textbook. It is a metaphysical declaration. It tells us who created, why creation exists, what authority governs reality. See, science answers how processes work, but Genesis answers why anything exists at all. These are not competitors, by the way. They answer different categories of truth. And then we must see the doctrinal clarity in this morning. Genesis 1 establishes essential Christian doctrines. We have the doctrine of God. He's eternal, sovereign, personal, and authoritative. We have the doctrine of revelation. God orders. Amen. We have the doctrine of creation. Creation is good, ordered, and purposeful. We have the doctrine of humanity. Humans bear God's image and his dignity. And we have the doctrine of authority. God defines reality, not humanity. It is God who defines reality, not mankind. Praise be to God. You see, now if we remove Genesis 1, every downstream doctrine will weaken. Every doctrine will weaken if we remove that. And so there is an application in this framework. Let me put up this application real quick. And I hope you're tracking with me this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's put up this application. First of all, let's get that up there. All right. The practical application in this morning, I'm going to put that up first, is that to recognize God's authority. First of all, you and I need to recognize God's authority. We need to acknowledge God as the creator and the sovereign and sovereign ruler over the universe, which calls for our reverence and our submission. That's the first thing that we need to recognize this morning, is God's sovereignty over the entire universe. Amen. And then we need to appreciate the order of creation. We need to observe and see what God has done. We need to appreciate what God has done. Praise be to God. And how God has ordered our steps, how he's ordered everything that we read in the Bible this morning, in Genesis chapter 1 this morning, because it is an incredible order that God has done today. So we need to observe the order and the beauty of the world around us as a reflection of God's character and his design. Thirdly, we need to value the goodness of creation. Treat the environment and all living things with respect, recognizing their inherent goodness as part of God's creation. And then we need to embrace our identity. We need to understand our identity and purpose as being the image of God, which should call us to reflect in our lives. Lastly, we need to honor the Sabbath. We need to incorporate regular times of rest and worship in our lives, following God's example of Sabbath rest. There are also Let me continue on here. The apologetics that are applied today in this reading today, in the apologetic framework, this should help have us develop personal faith. If God created by his word, then our life is not accidental. Our life is not accidental. Our identity is not self-defined. We don't get to choose who we are. Man doesn't get to come and say, God made a mistake, I should be a woman. Woman don't get to come and say, God made a mistake, I should be a man. Our identity is not self-defined, and our obedience is not optional. We have to serve the living Christ. You see, because faith rests on submission to God's authority, not self-authorship. You did nothing. God created you. And so your life is not by accident. There was no Big Bang Theory. You didn't develop from a fish and develop legs and walk up into the beach somewhere. And now you went to an ape, so, which is ridiculous. And now you a man. It takes more faith to believe that nonsense than believe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And which brings us to our public witness. Genesis 1 equips believers to say, truth exists because God exists. Let me say that again. Truth exists because God exists. Meaning is discovered, not invented. Amen. We are discovering what God has done. We don't go back and invent things. And human dignity is grounded in creation, not consensus. And see, this phrase evangelism as truth proclamation, not merely opinion sharing. When we engage in the cultures, Genesis 1 challenges to identify autonomy. Human-centered ethics, amen, and to biology. See, Christians engage culture not by retreat, but by reasserting creator authority and humility, with humility and clarity. Amen, amen. Genesis 1 grounds people in worth amid chaos. Amen. It counters despair with purpose. It reorients lives away from self-rule. And it calls wandering hearts back to God's design. Many crises are not emotional as root. They are theological in our lives. Amen. Let me sum it up this way to you. Genesis 1 declares that God alone defies reality. Amen. Truth and purpose. Let me say that again. God alone defies reality, truth, and purpose. You see, in a world shaped by chance, narratives, and self-authorship, Scripture announces intentional creation under divine authority and cause humans to respond. How will you respond today? How will you respond in what you have heard and what you have read today about this? You know, because this is so very true. What God is saying, we are not merely mistakes. This is not a Big Bang Theory. We didn't just happenstance along. God created us, and he created us in the likeness of himself. Amen. You need to grab hold of that response this morning as you live and walk and have your being, that you are special. God created you. The Bible declares that in again, when we look at the end of Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image. You are made in the image of God. That ought to make you shout this morning. That ought to make you say, wow. You are made in the image of God, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Amen. And rule the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and every creature that crawls. God made male and female, not male and male, but male and female. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so when you hear these people talking about this, amen, that's right, Mitchell, truth exists because God exists. Absolutely. And when you hear people talking this way, take them back to Genesis chapter 1. You see, I take everything when I have my discussions about this and that, about a man and female or whatever the case may be, you could take them all the way back to Genesis 1 where the truth exists. Amen. The truth exists right there. And so God speaks creation, order, and authority. God speaks, and when he speaks, creation comes, order comes, and authority comes. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that you and I want to serve in our lives. Amen. One who is Elohim, which is the central figure in Genesis 1, God, the creator of heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word here used is Elohim, which is a plural noun, but is used in a singular verb, indicating the complexity of the unity of God. Amen. The Spirit of God spoke this morning. And then man, God made man this morning. Although man, he didn't name Adam in Genesis 1, humanity is created again in the image of God. And the term Adam is used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27 to refer to mankind collectively. Amen. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, to rule over the fish of the sea and the bird. You got to get that right there when he says, let us make man in our image, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It was there from the beginning. It was there from the beginning. And let nobody tell you that it wasn't. All right. And so as we close this chapter this morning, we see the creation of the heavens and the earth. We see the earth formless and void. We see the creation of light, the separation of light from darkness, the naming of the day and night, the creation of the expansive sky, the separations of the waters, the naming of heaven, the gathering of waters and appearance of dry land, the naming of the earth and the seas, the creation of vegetation, the creation of lights and the expanse. There's a lot going on here. The creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars, the permanent placement of lights in the expanse, the creation of sea creatures and birds, the blessing of sea creatures and birds, the creation of land animals, and then lastly, the creation of you and I, the creation of mankind. Amen. My God, what a mighty God we serve. Mighty God we serve. He did all of this in this chapter right here. As we see, he made nothing out of anything. My goodness. And I tell you, it is amazing what he's done this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you, praise you for your word, your will, and your way this morning, Father God. And Father God, we pray for your creation this morning. We thank you, God, for the beauty and the complexity of the world that you have made. We thank you that you made us man and female, Father God, and told us to go forth and multiply. And we submit to your authority this morning. We pray for a heart, Lord God, that submits to your sovereign rule and seek to honor you in all the things that we do, Father. Father God, we pray about the steward of creation, the stewardship of creation. We commitment to care for the environment and all of us responsibly, Lord God. Our pets, our earth, our grass, our trees, love them all, Father God. You created it all, Father. And Lord God, we thank you for the reflection of being in your image. We pray for the strength and guidance, Lord God, to live in a way where it reflects your image, Father God, and your character. And then lastly, Lord God, we seek rest and worship. We seek your help in establishing a rhythm of rest and worship in our lives, honoring the Sabbath principle, Lord God. Father God, we thank and praise you for all under the sound of my voice this morning. May their hearts be turned towards you today, Lord God, in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you so very much for being a part of the reading this morning. We're going to be back before you tomorrow morning, where we're going to be in the book of Psalm tomorrow, upholding another truth through this teaching that we are doing this year. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you all. And again, there may be some tweaking here and there to bring more teaching on this as we start out this new program this morning. So bear with us. As we change things from here to there, whatever the case may be. But God is a wonder God. He is an awesome God, and he is so worthy to be praised. Listen, have a great day and a great start to your new year. Nothing could be better to be in the new year in the Word of God. Nothing. There is nothing better than that whatsoever. It's to open up your brand new year in his Word. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day in the Lord. Shalom.